This morning, I got into a subject I wish that I could have enlarged upon, but I couldn't. I just have to kind of work with the audience. As long as the audience is in a certain frame of mind, you know, we get along all right. And then, like children, they get kind of sleepy and they kind of drowse on me a little. I have to say that the most of my audience is either number one hypocrites, or they are some fine folks in listening, because it seems like the most of my people listen real good, and if they aren't what I think them to be, they're some of the, you can't say fine hypocrites, but some of the most outstanding hypocrites, because they've even got me thinking that they're listening and paying attention and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Whereas I know for sure that they really are. I mean, I can tell by discernment that they're not hypocrites. They're listening real good. They're growing in the knowledge of the Lord and in the grace of God. And I know some of them still babes, and they're kind of hard to hold on to sometimes. Little babes get sleepy, and they go to sleep. And in cases, a little babe side of you kind of nudge him and wake him up. And that way we'll get along pretty good. Now, spiritually speaking, unspiritually speaking, you know that sometimes babes, they go to sleep on you. They try to hold out, but they don't quite understand. And how do you know this is a wonderful trip that we're on? I tell you, this is a wonderful trip. I haven't got sleepy. I haven't got tired. I haven't got weary. I'm not weary and well-doing. This is a wonderful, wonderful trip. You know, some folks, they make a trip, they never see anything. They're as blind as a bat. Like some of them in Russia went up and said, God isn't anywhere up there. And the American people went up and said, I saw him everywhere. So, you know, it depends on how you look at things. And I'm having such a glorious trip. It's such a glorious trip from earth to glory. And it's so exciting all the way. I'm always seeing something beautiful and fantastic that I never seen before. The Bible said, ask of me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. So then, a lot of things that I know not, he shows me. And it's so exciting on this trip. So wonderful it is. And I have so many things to say to you, Jesus said, but you're dull of hearing. And even I myself, I come with what the Lord gives me, and I come to say these words. And when I get here, I don't feel the hunger and the thirst out of some of the people. And it really puts a damper on things, because I'm just filled up and overflowing with things before I leave the house. And I get here, and it's like you turn the light off, you know. And I think this is one reason that it makes my heart cry for the field. You go out into the field and you can have the light off, and when you get before them people, the light turns back on. They're so hungry and they're so thirsty for the things of God that they're just burning with the ego of God. And I'm not saying that to put a damper on you either, because I know that some of you do come, and even if you're tired, you still come eager to hear the word of God and to learn at the mouth of God. Isn't it the Bible said it's not the minister speaking? But it's the Heavenly Father speaking from within Him. And He is there remitting sins, and He is there binding sins, and He is there speaking the words of healing and deliverance like we spoke this morning. My, to know what you know, to understand what you know, understand, and then you forget so quickly. How can you do that? How can you forget so quickly who you are and what you are? And your mission and calling in life. How can you forget the greatness of who you are? You know, and how is it that you do not retain these things? Jesus said one time, he said, don't you remember the things that I told you? Are you yet without understanding? The Bible said, with wisdom get understanding. Are you yet without understanding concerning all these great and mighty things? Do you not know about this heavenly treasure that we're giving to you for your earthen vessels? And do you not understand how great and mighty this is? Folks, I'm sure that many of you don't. You know, a man that's a professor, a man that's went to college, a man that's studied all of his life, he's a great, brilliant scientist like Einstein. You know, he comes in the midst of us. He's no more than anybody else. We look at him and say, well, he's just a man, that's all. Just a man. Like the president, he comes down to visit with you, said nothing to him, just a man. Just a man. The sheriff, he comes out to visit with you, nothing to him, he's just a man. But see, when they thought of Jesus as a man, he was a man, but they said, never man speak like this man. Man, but what a man. Stepping in the steps of a big, big man, the Word of God says. You know, you don't see anything happening. You look around, you don't see anything happening when the power of God's there. It's there, but you don't see anything happening until God begins to demonstrate. Because though the power of God is there, it's invisible. And even if you pray for a sick person, so far as anything spiritual, you don't see anything. You just see a reaction out of the person that was healed. But you don't see anything spiritually. It's all invisible. It's all an invisible power. It's all an invisible work. It's all something that you cannot see with your natural eyes. See, and it is of such nature that the average individual will never receive it, never understand it, never know about it. The Bible said the wicked shall not see this good when it cometh. Because it is as to affect the eyes of understanding, as to the comprehending of the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. Yet he said unto you, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And I say, Brother Taylor, would you show me what the Lord is talking about? What is this he that is within me? I say, I don't see anything. All I see is a lot of faces out there. You know, and I've seen those faces before. And I don't see him. Where is he at? What is this? See, because that's invisible. And then, as it was said back there, they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, no, you don't see. You're blind. You can't see. The kingdom of God, he could have said, is already here. But you don't see it. He said, the kingdom of God don't come by seeing it. You don't see it. It doesn't come that way. It doesn't come by observation. The kingdom of God is within you. It is something you comprehend. It is something that you believe, and then you comprehend. The eyes of your understanding sees those things. You know, Jesus said, Thomas, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me? You know, Jesus said, and you should know the Father. Thomas said, well, just show us the Father. He said, if you would just show him to us, so that would suffice us. And Jesus said, Thomas, have I been with you all of this time and yet you have not known me? See, Jesus emphatically stated, it is not I that doeth the work, but the Father that dwelleth within me. He doeth the work. And have I been with you so long time and yet ye have not known me? See, that's why they said, never man spake like that man, for his words were with power, and that he commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. He sent his word and healed them. And by his word, he cast out the unclean spirit. And by his word, he spoke the world into existence. And by his word, he said, let there be a Brother Taylor, and there's a Brother Taylor. So then this great invisible work, this most powerful work, this great wonderful work, you know, the preacher, he magnifies it, he lifts it up, and he makes a fuss over it. Because it's real, it's great, it's mighty, it's unbelievable. There's nothing to compare with it. And people, they sit and think, well, he makes a fuss over it because that's his end of it. You know, he's got to pull for his end. You know, it makes us believe that something's going on. Well, bless your heart, I ain't trying to make you believe nothing's going on. If you can't see this, then the Bible said, if it be hid to them that are lost. And that Satan, even the god of this world, has blinded your eyes, even the eyes of your understanding, that ye shall not see when good cometh. I'm not trying to make you see anything. For how can a man receive anything save it be given him of God? This thing is given of God. So we come to these things to talk about them. And like I say, my heart is filled up and overflowing. And I'll have a great message. I'll have a great thing God's given me. I come and I look for fertile field to sow the seed. Briars and thorns, worries and thoughts and frustration and eating and drinking and passions and desires and gullibleness and fault finding and backbiting and harsh things that said and jealousy and envy and strife and malice and on and on and on and on. See, in the fields, You say, well, what must I do? My granddaddy used to say, I'll show you what to do. And he'd do a little bit here and there, and he'd strike a match, and the wind would get that fire. He'd say, just get away now, let's take care of it. And about that time, you'd see little animals hopping everywhere, and you'd see rats coming out of holes, and you'd see snakes going here and there. And when my granddaddy got through, there were no briars, and there was nothing to bother us. Then we'd put in the plow and plow. Sometimes we'd still plow up some more rats and snakes and weasels and whatever, you know. But when we got through, we'd throw the old harrow in there, and with its fingers, it would just tear everything to pieces and just pulverize it and drag off all the briars and thorns and everything that was left, the vines and whatever. And then we'd be ready to lay off the furrows, we'd be ready to sow the grain, and then we could get a harvest. Then we could get a harvest. Well, anyway, like I say, I come up here and I feel around to see just where you're at, to see if we can pick up a connection. And sometimes I don't. And we just go ahead and try when we are doing the video to preach to those people out there, because those people are wanting something and they need something and they're hungry and they're thirsty. And as I say, this is why I long to go to the field so often, is because I can say to those multitudes, I can say, do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, wave your hand back at me. Thousands of hands will go up and they'll wave their hand back, you know. And if the light's dim or if it's bright, you can see those hands waving. I say hallelujah. And you can hear hallelujah. And they'll be waving back at you and something just run all over you, you know. And the power of God start moving. I say, do you believe in Jesus? And they'll say, hallelujah, amen. And sometimes you can't hardly understand what they're saying, you know, because they're talking their language. But you can feel the anointing of God. It begins to drive you. Feel something, you know. And it reminds me of my grandma. She used to milk that cow, and she'd have that little old pan, and she'd pull down, you know, and you go, that squirt of milk would come out, and you'd hear it hit that tin can. She'd just about play a tune as it hit the tin can, you know. And you get to preaching, and you get to worshiping God. And I'll tell you what, when you get through, you think, well, glory to God. Instead of bringing these folks a revival, they brought me a revival. I've been revived. I've had a revival. And you go back home feeling real good. All right, so then we'll talk to you a little bit about some things, maybe. Sometimes when I go to talk about the things of God as to the deep things of God, some people get stirred up and they begin to pull and God begins to do something. And then on the other hand, and that when we make an audience, we preach to the audience like this and we're making a television sermons, sometimes the Lord doesn't let the deep things come because those are just babes out there. And sometimes you're tired and whatever. When I said, and Thomas, have you not known me? I meant Philip, have you not known me? We say Thomas. Thomas was the one that said, I don't believe until I can stick my hands into the nail prints. But Philip, hast thou not known me? Anyway, we want to read just a little bit here. If you've got your Bibles, turn to the book of St. John. As a matter of fact, right here in the 14th chapter is where we'll read. You know, I say those things, and a lot of times I don't realize it, but that's what the Lord is wanting us to talk about, because I see some things right here before me. Chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now notice this, he said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go in. Now I want you to think on this for just a few minutes. First of all, Jesus said here, I want you to notice this. Jesus said, I said unto you that I'm going to leave you. In the 28th verse, ye have heard now, I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. Come again unto you. A lot of times we read the scriptures, but we don't notice what they say as to getting the understanding. I go away. Somebody says he says he'll go away, but he will send the Comforter. He will send the third member of the Godhead. He will go away. And he will send to us the third member of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the third person in the Godhead. But here he says, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. Come again unto you. So it sounds like here now the third person of the Godhead is the same one that was the second person of the Godhead, the Son. He said, I go away, but I come again unto you. Now he said, I go away, and then I'll send you the Comforter of the Holy Ghost. And he'll come in my name. And then he defines it here as saying, I come again unto you. Oh, that is to say, the Holy Ghost is nothing less or more than the Spirit of Christ Jesus. So I go away in the body, but I return to you in the Spirit. And whereas I am Emmanuel with you, I'll be in you when I come back. This will be God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I will come back as Christ. I go away as Jesus. I must die for you. And I must take away your sins. And God must give up his only begotten Son. But I'll come back to you again. And this time I'll come back as Christ, to dwell within the temple. And he said, my Father and I are one. And he said, Father, make these one. Even as thou art in me, and I am in them. Oh, that is to say, Father, there's no sin in me. So then you can relate to me and you can live on the inside of me. But you cannot live on the inside of Brother Pike because there's sin in Brother Pike. But if you will live on the inside of me, I can relate to Brother Pike, and I'll live on the inside of him, and you can communicate with Brother Pike through me, through the blood of righteousness, even my blood, you can communicate with him. And so then he in Christ Jesus as the Father, and the Father in the Son. So then we find out that we're all one, just one body, one great life. See, this is why Jesus pointed out here to them. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And the words that I'm speaking, he said, it's not myself, it's the Father that's speaking. See, I say to you, I say, Brother Taylor, believest thou not that it's not my body that's doing this talking, but it's my inner man or my spirit on the inside? And Brother Taylor would say, well, prove it to me. I'd say, okay, when I'm dead, come around and you'll have your proof. You can't get me to say nothing. So then you'll see that there's somebody talking that's missing, because I'll be theirs to the natural. All right, so then we're dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are dead. That's why that I brought out what I did today. Maybe we'll get to some of these things. Even the Spirit of truth, he is to come and live in you, which is the Holy Ghost. And when he said, Philip, have I been with you so long and yet you've not known me? Why did he say that? Because he was the second member of the Godhead, as is taught. See, and so it is said here. It is said, how have I been with you so long and you've not known me? See, he is simply saying, Philip, God is a spirit. You can't ever see God. God is the great light under which no man can approach, whom no man has ever seen, not Moses, not Abraham, not Elijah, not anybody. No one has ever seen God at any time. He is the great light. That is the great spirit, the great understanding. He is the great understanding that is from everlasting to everlasting and is made available to every pure heart of faith that is purged by the blood. And that God is a spirit and that you cannot see God. See, to live and see God is impossible. You can't do that. You must be dead to see God. That is, dead to the flesh. And the Bible said that no man can see God and live. So then that means that when you are dead by the body of Jesus Christ, then you can see God. Because the Bible said only the pure in heart shall see God. So then you see God with your understanding. You comprehend God as to the height, as to the width, as to the length, as to the depths. He's the great spiritual almighty God from everlasting to everlasting. Life and healing and everything is with God. I know to you and I, you know, the big thing in life to you and I is a form. We look at a form and we say, look at me. This is the ultimate of living. You know, and to us, that's a big thing. That's the greatest thing of all. You have to have a form or you ain't nothing. But with God, he just says, and there is no form. Forms are nothing to God. He makes all kind of forms. He's like a little boy out here that when he's playing with his blocks or playing with the mud, making mud pies, he can just make anything he wants and just tear it back down and start all over. See, so the big thing is not human flesh. It's not human element. It's not composition of things. The big thing is the invisible almighty God. Somebody said, well, I don't place too much emphasis on what I can't see. Well, it might be good if you did, because when the wind gets up to about 150 miles an hour, you don't see it, but you might better place some emphasis on it, get somewhere in a hole in the ground or something, because it's going to move things away. It's going to tear up things. See, so them little old things are sitting out there, these buildings are supposed to be so great and so mighty, they're sitting out there and we'll say, look at that. Now that's the thing right there. And people, look at those people. Look at those beautiful automobiles and those ships and those airplanes. But the wind comes by as if to say, ain't nothing to it. And he blows it all away. So what is the great? All of these things are the wind that blew them away.
See, and so it is with God, the invisible force which is God, the great light, the mighty God that can do anything He wants to, be anything He wants to, change the appearance of anything. He can bring forth youth and radiance and beauty such as never been seen. Or He can make it a hideous monster if He wants to. All right, so what is Jesus saying to Philip? He's saying, Philip, there is no such thing as seeing the Father except by means of this manifested image, which is the Son. So then God is in me, not by measure, but the fullness of God dwells in me. And He was saying, you're never going to see anything but me. I'm the only God that you're going to ever see. There is no other God outside of me. There is no other God. I alone am God. He said, I am God. I am God alone. He said, who is God outside of me? Can you imagine God standing there like that? He said, and who is God outside of me? He said, show me another God. There ain't no God but me. You know, I could stand up and I say, ain't nobody but me and a half a dozen folks that appear and say, let me tell you something, I'm here too. But see, when God said that, even the clouds will flee away. The mountains will flee away. Even the stars will hide themselves and the sun will quit shining because He'll say, I'm God and there ain't no other God. Where is another God? He said, I made the heavens. I made the heavens. He said, no one didn't help me make the heavens. This is what He said in the days of the prophets. He said, I made the heavens. I stretched them out alone. Where is my equal? Somebody says, three gods, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and their teachings is that they are co-equal. He said, where is my equal? I don't know Him. I know Him not. Show Him to me. Who's my equal? Folks, let me tell you, He doesn't have any equal. He doesn't have any equal. When the wind starts blowing, it can huff and puff and says, who's my equal? Show Him to me. So that building that's so tall and mighty, and the building's gone. See, that is to say, the Spirit is like the wind. The Bible said you don't know where it comes from and you don't know where it's going. See, you don't know. You just know after it passes through, it's been there. And you don't see it, but you sure can see the damage that it done or the things that happened when that wind began to puff. So I'm just saying those things to try to bring a few thoughts to you. That here in the book of St. John, we're told about the wonderful God of heaven and of earth. And today I was speaking to you earlier about this wonderful God that appeared on the scene at Calvary and how that the kingdom of God had since that time been in the earth and that men are pressing their way into the kingdom of God. And I was trying to explain to you how that we press our way into the kingdom of God, that we are praying, Father, Thy will be done. Thy kingdom is now come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is our prayer. Praying, Father, Thy will be done. Let Brother Pike from now on, I would say, do Thy will, Heavenly Father. Thy kingdom is come within me. Thy kingdom is now in the earth. Let Thy will be done. Let me go forth and overthrow the kingdoms of this world. And the more we know about it, the more that we can believe. And the more that we believe, the more that we are partakers of the divine benefits of the everlasting gift of God, which is eternal life and the blessings that He wants us to have as all things that pertain unto life. So we see that God has done this marvelous thing for us. He has helped us in such a way that we are found recipients of eternal life. And why is it then, beloved friend, that we forget so easy? Why is it that we go our way and we forget so easy? I could say, why is it that you go your way to the wallowing in the mire and back to the vomit of the dogs? But see, you're not sows, but there are some that come into our presence that do go back and do that and have done that. Because that's their mind and their children of bondage. They're the bonds child to the beggarly elements of this world. But we're free. And the Bible said, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ hath made you free. And be not entangled again to the yoke of bondage of those beggarly elements of the world. For if the love of the world be in you, the love of the Father isn't there. So we go on our way, singing and praising God, having a good time, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to His purpose. So here we are, brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God.
And the old sow grunts, comes in and grunts, enjoys the rain and goes back to the wallowing in the mire. The dog back to the vomit. But ye are not like that. It is true, the prodigal almost went to the hog pen. Almost did fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And was found feeding the swine. A lot of you, you know, that's one of your problems. You feed the swine. You feed the swine. Your business, as you call it, and your doings, as you call it, and all of these other things, and the people that you work for, and whatever it might be, you spend your time feeding the swine. Feeding the swine. The Bible said before he filled his belly with the husk, just before he did that, all of a sudden he raised up and something dawned on him and he said, well, there's plenty over at my father's house. My father's rich and there's just plenty over there. And here I am. I've just lost all of my decency, my name, and everything is gone. And here I am feeding hogs. And before he reached in to fill his belly with the husk, being hungry, before he did that, he rose up and he said, I know what I'll do. I know I've done wrong. I know I've sinned. I know I'm no good. I know I've reproached the Heavenly Father. Jesus said, and the drunkards and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before some of you religious people. For you said you would and didn't, and they said they would not, but they repented and did. And the Bible said as to that prodigal, when he got his bearings and he started back home and he saw his father, he was ready to run and fall at his father's feet. But the Bible said that father didn't see any of his wrong. He didn't see any of the dirt. It didn't bother him about the smell of the hogs. He screamed out, go get the best robe, put it on my son. Bring a ring for his finger. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a jubilee. My son, he's found. He was lost, and now he's come home. And we're going to have a jubilee. Think about that. That's the way God feels about you. He loves you because you're his son. You're not a sow. You're not a dog. You're his son. You might have been out with the pigs, but it's time to get cleaned up. Isn't that right? Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's everybody stand together. We sing that song, come home, it's supper time. All right, so the kingdom of God is here, the fullness of time is here. And now we are sons of God, beloved, already sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know that when we see him, we are going to be like him. And everyone that has this hope within them purifies himself even as he is pure. And let's sing this little chorus together, Sister Dale. It says, I'll overcome. I'll overcome,
I'll overcome,
I'll overcome someday.
Yeah, in my heart I can believe that I'll overcome someday.
We'll walk on streets of gold,
walk on streets of gold,
walk on streets of gold someday.
Yeah, in my heart I can believe
we'll walk on streets of gold. Can you sing that with me? We'll overcome. Remember now, we're overcoming the body. Save yourself from this underworld generation. God has already saved you and took away your sins. And happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing which he alloweth as he stumbleth. All we've got to do is believe. I'll overcome. Now let's sing like this. And I have overcome, I have overcome, I overcame there at Calvary, because in my heart I do believe I overcame.
overcome, will overcome, will overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, we'll overcome someday. I've got the victory. I've got the victory. I've got the victory today. Because inside my heart I can believe. I've got, the Bible said this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. So I believe in Christ. I believe in Christ. I believe in Christ today. Oh, inside my heart, I do believe. I believe in Him today. Death is gone away. Death is gone away. There's no more death here today. For inside my heart I do believe, and death is gone and passed away. For Jesus made me whole. Jesus made me whole. Jesus made me hung on Calvary, took all my sins away, and Jesus made me whole that day. Sing it with me now. I'm gonna sing His praise. I'm gonna sing His praise. I'm gonna sing His praise. Yeah, today, can you give Him a wave offering? 'Cause in my heart I do believe, so I sing His praise today. One more time. I'll overcome. I'll overcome. I will overcome someday. Yep, in my heart I can believe, then I'll someday.
Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. How wonderful it is to be an overcomer. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even that you believe what I've done in your behalf. Just your faith. Your faith in my finished works, to enter into my rest and cease from your own works, to believe your way unto righteousness and to confession unto salvation. Blessed is the man in whom God will not impute sin, and blessed is the man whose sins are gone, whose iniquities are covered. The love of God, even charity, that covereth the multitude of sins. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Isn't that wonderful? God who forgiveth all of our... David said, don't forget the benefits of God. Who forgiveth all of our iniquities and healeth all of our diseases. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? All right, let's sing this little chorus. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I am a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Can you sing that with me? We claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when you call. And I know that we're the children God set free. I am God's own child by birth,
the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me.
Sing it more time.
We claim Jesus first of all.
He will answer when we call.
And I know that we're those children God set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me.
One more time.
We claim Jesus first of all, and He will answer when we call. For we know that we're His children, and He's set free. I am God's own child, my birth, the highest honor on this earth. And I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me.
Let's give Him a hand one more time, can you? I claim Jesus first of all. That's enough for me. While we sing these little choruses that we sing so often, we give you a chance to come to God. The altars are open, Sister Dale, as we sing, "There's Room at the Cross for You."
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
The altars are open.
For at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. At your feet, oh sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild sea. But in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. So come into my heart. Just come into my heart.
Can you sing that with us as we worship the Lord? Don't you love the Lord? Didn't you come here to worship the Lord? To get closer to God, to do something for Jesus.
Today, and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. sweeter each day. Grow sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my Jesus, and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. Let's sing this little chorus together. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. Sing that with me. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. For your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. Well, I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin, my head bowed low, trouble in my soul, looking for the place it would end. But an old-time preacher came calling one day. Good book, he read a few words. Now I can say there's nothing in my way. I came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, come a little closer to the Lord. You're heavy load of life, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten, come a little closer to the Lord. So I came a little closer, just a little closer, I came a little closer to the Lord. My heavy load did lighten, and my days did brighten when I came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten. Come a little closer one more time then.
You love the Lord. Let's see if we can sing this little chorus, Sister Dale.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus, and He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Him, and you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hand. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. So come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till the evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call at set of sun. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home.
Let's just lift our hands up together, worship the Lord. Remember, the Lord is your friend. He's the only friend that we have. Sometimes we see Him so vividly in others as they befriend us. We know that that is Jesus. Let's love Him with all of our hearts. Surrender your heart to Him. Surrender your strength to Him. Just love Him. Lean on Him. Forget all of your problems. Forget all of your worries. And say, Lord, I come just as I am, the songwriter said. I come, O Lord. O Lord, I come just as I am. I come. Folks, let's not wait till that great, dreadful time when the grim reaper shall come. Like the song that we wrote, the harvest is ripe, thrust in the sickle. Watch the grim reaper pull the blade. Death is coming. The song says, the valley's overflowing with the slain. And there'll be no more tomorrow because of sinful yesterday. Sinful yesterday does away with our tomorrows. And there'll be no more tomorrow. We sing the song, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know he's the one that's holding my hand. Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are, we sing. Brighter than the morning star. How sweet, how wonderful, how lovely to be interwoven with him and him interwoven with you, and to know that all of your battles are fought and all of your victories are won. We sing that song, hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still, and we wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace. It takes the grace of God because we stumble and stagger. And we think we're defeated. You know, we think we're defeated and we say, but Lord, the way the Bible reads, it sounds like you gave me grace over that staggering. And we scream out in boldness, by thy grace we will. Hold the fort. Don't turn it loose. Having done all to stand, the Bible said, stand therefore. Stand. Be strong in the power of my might. For this is the victory that overcometh the world. If you want to live an overcoming life, then just believe in what I've done to overcome. For what I've done to overcome, that was for you. So then you've overcome. When you believe, then everything's all right. We'll overcome, we'll overcome, we'll overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, then we'll overcome someday. While we've got our eyes closed and our hands lifted, I'm going to sing that same song we sang this morning, Sister Dale. The fullness of time. Calvary came, the Lord was sent, and I sent my son in the fullness of time, made under the law and made of a woman. You know, it's strange. We think we're so great as men a lot of times, but isn't it strange that God didn't seek to send his son by man, but he sent by woman. Isn't that amazing? And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. For time, remember the fullness of time now. This is your day. This is your opportunity. This is the fullness of time. We can have the wonderful things of God come into that full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. For the angel will stand, sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Once again now, for time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand with a raised up hand, and time shall be. And he sware by him that liveth forever and ever, saying, time shall be no more. Fullness of time, the end of time,
Jesus said it's finished.
And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand. Shall be no more.
One more time.
And time shall be no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand.
Heads and lift our hands. Ask Brother Eugene to come to dismiss us. While he's coming to pray, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Do you really believe in the Word of God? While he's praying, folks, what a beautiful day. What a beautiful hour. What a glorious time. What a glorious time. Just before Gene prays with us, we're going to sing this with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to sing, "This is the day. Have you entered into his rest? Therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people, seeing that those in the wilderness did not enter in because of their unbelief. We are therefore translated into this rest by faith in the finished works of our Savior. He that hath entered into the rest of the Lord has ceased from his own work." We're going to sing this as we close the service.
And this is the day, and this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. And we will rejoice, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I'll be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, I'll be glad in. For this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath.
One more time together now.
For this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, and I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, be glad in it. For this is the day, for this is the day that the Lord hath made.